I have to right a wrong.
Yeah.
So yesterday I edited last week's episode.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a part of the episode.
Did you fuck up or did I fuck up?
I fucked up.
Oh, good, good, good.
So we were reading something about Neil Gaiman books, and mm-hmm. we were talking about the Eternals.
Mm-hmm.
And the word mythologizing came up. And for whatever reason, I thought it was misspelled and I couldn't say it.
Yeah.
So like five times, I think I said mythologize, I just kept fucking
you
it were, up.
I think I do remember you having issues with that.
And I think I blamed the person's writing, but I went back and looked today because it was bugging me for some reason. And no, I just, for whatever reason, just misread it or something.
You just had a spot that said dyslexia.
I guess. I just couldn't say mythologize. So the word was mythologize.
Mm.
I mythologize the mythology of mythologize.
I mythologized all of your face.
Ooh, baby. That's the only cold open I had.
Yeah.
I watched the you sent it to me, the Deadpool Wolverine trailer.
I was thinking about asking you about if you wanted to do that for the cold open, but then you just kind of started.
Mm-hmm. It was pretty good. Looks funny.
It looks funny, and like it got me excited because it actually, like, this trailer made it look like there might have, like, an actual story. Like, you know what I mean? And then, like, the teaser and stuff was just, like, a lot of, oh, look at them doing badass fucking shit in their cursing, which was awesome. But this trailer, you was like, oh, wait, there's, like, a story to this one, too. Like,
I think they are using one of the comic stories where Logan is tricked into killing all the X-Men.
Yeah, they make it seem, because, like, the way that the trailer seemed, like, it might not even be the same Wolverine from the past Wolverine movie. Like, you know what I mean?
I might have been incorrect, but I could have sworn in the trailer it looked like there was two different Wolverines, like a younger one and an older one.
I mean, well, they did that in the Logan movie too, so.
Yeah, because it looked like it was the old man Logan. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't think it's that universe's, but he is supposed to be an older Logan.
What they might be doing is because, like, the old man Logan in the book is from, they did this storyline, well, the original old man Logan storyline in the comics was that, you know, all the villains decided to band together, take over the planet, and da-da-da-da, and wastelands and all this other stuff to where, like, in the movie is more of just, like Charles kind of just murdered everybody with his psychic powers.
With
and
his stuff dementia
like
powers.
Yeah. So maybe they're like, sticking with, like, that theme, but more to the comic kind of, like, accuracy or something of it. I don't know.
And I'm pretty sure there's a giant dead Ant-Man.
Yeah, that looks like that. What, like that thing that opened up there?
Which in the comics, somebody or other made a base out of the dead Ant-Man skull. So that's kind of cool.
And we got to see that Wolverine will have his sleeves off.
Yeah, he does take the sleeves off, so he doesn't keep them on. So that's cool.
But I kind of like the tagline of the trailer, and I hope it's the movie. The let's fucking go. Like, yeah. I do like that. That's gonna be awesome to hear, like, a cussing Logan or, you know, Wolverine in the movies and stuff like that.
It's gonna be exciting. So we'll have to actually go see that in the theater.
Yeah,
we'll make that a weekend trip. Anyway, folks, we have an episode about stories.
What has the potential to be an actual, like, legitimate kind of topic.
Yeah, it depends how much hosting I'm doing.
Yeah.
Unless you want to host it. Yeah. Get host the episode.
Nah.
We'll find out after these musical introductions. You are listening to the Drunken Pen Writing Podcast. I'm your host, Caleb James. With me today, Spencer, the Seattle Spooge Speedster Church.
I thought we was done with that, with the semen.
I didn't say anything about semen. I said spooge.
Oh, come on.
This could be anything.
Okay.
Is there another definition for spooge?
I don't know.
Okay, anyway, the sperm speeder.
Yeah.
You're speeding on sperm. Made you a speedster.
Yeah.
You're just jerking it real fast. So today I found an article. It was actually somebody shared it in the Classic Lit group we're in. It's where I initially found it.
Oh, I didn't notice that.
Yeah. Sometimes I get some good stuff in there that's not just whining about dumb shit.
Yeah.
So it was an article. The article is actually brief, but there was a video attached to it from Kurt Vonnegut's lecture series that he did. Because I guess he was a lecturer for a while. And this is an old one. He's like 81, but I guess he wrote his thesis on like the shapes of stories. Mm-hmm. Apparently it was a rejected thesis. Like, they didn't I don't know how you reject a thesis. I guess it's just, fuck, that sucked. Yeah. But it came with a handy chart, so I'm going to read the little bit on the chart. Kurt Vonnegut gained worldwide fame and adoration through the publication of his novels, including Slaughterhouse-Five, Cat's Cradle, Breakfast of Champions, and more.
Spencer.
But it was his rejected master's thesis in anthropology that he called his prettiest contribution to his culture.
I wonder how like far into his career he was when he submitted that. I would have to think pretty early on.
Probably before he wrote books, I would think. I'm pretty sure he was in advertising, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah. That's why he kind of was able to come up with like the Kurt Vonnegut that everyone knows. Mm-hmm. Like it was almost like a gimmick.
Well, and then too, because like there was a big, I think wasn't there like a couple year gap between his first and second book or something like that?
Yeah, so. I'm pretty sure. So the basic idea of his thesis was that a story's main character has ups and downs and can be graphed to reveal the story's shape. The shape of society stories, he said, is at least as interesting as the shape of its pots or spearheads. Let's have a look, Spencer. And I do highly recommend just checking out the video if you can. If you just look up Kurt Vonnegut shapes or something, I'm sure it'll come up.
I was gonna say, do you think we could like put a link in the description or something?
Well, that's working.
Okay. You're the one that does that, so I understand.
I mean, it's not really hard. It's just it's another thing. Do I want to do another thing?
And I think that is just like the end part of like a longer talk that he had.
Because he said he went for 45 minutes.
Yeah, and that video we watched was only like 17 minutes. So it'd just be interesting to catch the rest of that, you know, to see what else he's talking about.
Correct. It would be. I would like to watch some of those videos, though. He does breathe very hard in that lecture series because he's old man Vonnegut. So the first one he talked about, yeah, this was the very first one because he did a graph in the video. In the article we saw, unless this was a different article, they actually had a handy little graph I just downloaded here. So the first one was man in hole.
Mm-hmm.
Man in a hole, Spencer. So the main character gets into trouble, then cuts out of it again, and ends up better off for the experience. The examples they give for a book is arsenic and old lace. I don't know what that is. And movie is Harold and Kumar Go to White Castle. Mm. Odd pairing.
Yeah.
But what I liked about that one is that's like your basic story. Mm. Probably the one you see most often. Well, there's two that you see most often. We'll get into the other one. But when somebody's at the top, it starts off happy. And then a tragedy or something occurs.
Well, he also, like, again, this is the way you should listen or, you know, try to find the video to watch it, because he goes into a bit about like how nobody wants to hear, like, people who can afford to buy books and magazines and stories and stuff, they don't want to read about the poor people and the dentist, so start off happy.
Yeah.
And then work your way down and up instead of
the other way. Yeah. So the man in the hole is basically you pretty much get into a hole and you dig yourself out or come out of it. So most stories that you've read probably have that premise where it's like, oh, you start off and things are good. And then again, you know, tragedy. Somebody gets killed. Somebody gets robbed. Divorce. Something happens. Our protagonist gets dropped into the depths of despair. And then they have to come out. And at the end, they're better off than they were at the beginning, usually. The next one is the other classic, Boy Meets Girl. The main character comes across something wonderful, gets it, loses it, then gets it back forever. So this is actually the same trajectory as the whole.
Mm-hmm. And it doesn't necessarily have to be boy meets girl, but you know, it'd be a thing, you know.
Well, even in the video, he gives generalities. He doesn't even go in specifics. But the examples they gave for book, Jane Eyre, and the movie, Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind. I've seen the movie, and, you know, Jim Carrey meets... what was the name of that movie? Not Dandelion or something
like that. Yeah.
Tulip or some shit, some flower. But he meets her. They have a whirlwind romance, goes south. And then there's this technology that allows you to erase memories.
Mm-hmm.
So I think they both did it. They erased each other, but then they met again.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, same plot as the man in the hole is you have your ups and your downs, and it creates a shape from bad to worse. The main character starts off poorly, then gets continually worse with no hope for improvement. This is a different one.
Yeah.
This is one you don't see too often, and if you do, it's a real fucking boner killer. I don't know why I said boner killer. It's a real downer. I measure things in boner size. Are you a fully hard erect, or are you sad and flaccid? That's my life. It's just in boners. So the main character starts off poorly and gets continually worse. So they use the metamorphosis, which I love his example when he did that in there. It's like Gregor Samsa starts off as a cocker. Well, he starts off, he has a shit job, a family that hates him, and everything in his life sucks. And he wakes up to go to work, and then he's a cockroach. He's like, aw, so bad, and then just worse. The other example, this is from television, they give The Twilight Zone. I don't think every episode starts bad to worse. They use a whole litany of different storytelling techniques, but that's one that's been in there. The next up is Which Way Is Up? The story has a lifelike
ambiguous? Without the was at the end?
No. Yeah, close. The story has a lifelike ambiguity. That keeps us from knowing if new developments are good or bad. Isn't it funny? Sometimes you don't know you can't say a word until you try to read it out loud.
Yeah.
And you can say it in your head a million times when you read it, and you never know that it's one of those ones. My mouth don't make the right sounds.
It's bad because, like, you know, like with my terrible spelling, if I want to, like, if it's like a real difficult word that I'm worried that I might have trouble trying to decipher later, you know, I try to get on my, you know, get on my phone
and just say it.
And say it, but then, like, I can't, like, then I get tongue tied and, like, frustrated, and then I get all mad and I can't, like,
jeez. So you just start off bad to worse.
Yes, bad to worse. Story of my life.
So the examples on this they give is Hamlet and for TV, The Sopranos.
Mm.
He goes in the lecture about Hamlet, and it actually has a pretty good parallel to Cinderella.
Yeah.
I think it was.
Mm-hmm.
So basically the same premise. So Cinderella, her mom dies and her dad remarries, and then she gets two shitty sisters. Hamlet's dad is murdered. I don't think he knows he's murdered, does he? I don't remember. I read Hamlet not that long ago too. But basically same thing. The dad dies, which is the king. And then his wife, Hamlet's mom, remarries. And she marries his uncle.
Mm.
But it has kind of the same flow. But yeah, it's not really a rise and fall. It's just ambiguous. And the story is kind of leaves you wanting. I don't know what to do about this basement, man. So ever since that fucking slop over in the corner I cleaned up, like, because I noticed when I edited the last episode, I kept coughing.
Yeah.
And when I was down here, I was riding my bike earlier. I just fucking sinuses keep getting, like, only down here. I don't know if it's dust or what. It's fucking me up. I'm surprised you're not fucked up. Everything else fucked you up.
Right.
You go out into the sun, you're like, I can't breathe. a 2-degree temperature change. I'm dying, Caleb. So yeah, Hamlet is slightly ambiguous there. Next up is Creation Story. I don't remember if he talked about this one.
Yeah, that doesn't sound familiar.
Actually, I don't think he talked about any of these ones. This is the second row on this list here. Mm. Well, it's not a list, a graph or something. Info. What do they call it? Infogram? Infograph?
Infograph sounds good to me.
So Creation Story. In many cultures, creation stories, humankind receives incremental gifts from a deity. First, major staples like the earth and sky, then smaller things like sparrows and cell phones. Not a common shape for Western stories, however. He did talk about that. He just didn't use that necessarily. Mm. He talked about not aboriginals, but something along those lines.
Yeah.
It's just like, they have shit stories. Mm-hmm. Like, they don't have good stories because it's just like, the sun came up and it was bright and the birds chirped. It's like, there's no story there. The Old Testament. Humankind receives incremental gifts from a deity, but suddenly ousted from good standing in a fall of enormous proportions. And they give great expectations for that. That's, yeah, okay, that's it. They didn't give movies or anything. The other one didn't have any examples.
Yeah.
But they gave great expectations for that. I will say some creation stories actually do have some drama. A lot of them do. They have their ups and downs. Old Testament here, so basically like the creation stories, but they have more of a, the God is, he giveth and he taketh away.
Yeah, more spiteful. Smiteful.
Spiteful, not smiteful. Is this, what's smite? Smote. I smoted.
Yeah, I don't know what the, I just know spite, smite.
I think it is smite.
Yeah.
Spite is evil. Ill intent.
Yeah. And
smite is I struck you in the head with a hammer. Not quite, but you get it. I took an alpha brain today. It's not helping.
No.
New Testament. Humankind receives incremental gifts from a deity, is suddenly ousted from good standing, but then receives off the charts bliss. I can't think of an example of that. Things go poorly or things go good and then they go poorly and then they get great. The example they give is Great Expectations with Dickens' alternate ending. Okay, I never read the alternate ending. I didn't know there was one. And final is Cinderella. It was the similarity between the shapes of Cinderella and the New Testament that thrilled Vonnegut for the first time in 1947. And then over the course of his life, as he continued to write essays and give lectures on the shapes of stories. So I just thought it was an interesting topic because I never thought of any. Again, if you look at the graph, he has it. It makes shapes.
Well, and like another thing that they didn't talk about, like in the article that's in that video, is the what makes a story like well is like that trying to tap into everydayness or how did he explain that? I remember like when he was talking about like with his uncle and you know like oh this is a good time like,
oh yeah. Just kind of stop when you're in the moment yeah. of happiness and just go hey this is the moment that we yeah. should be celebrating like this. The example he used was like a picnic or something, and you know the bees are out and the birds and everything's sunny and nice. And his uncle would just stop and say something along the lines of like, "This is it. This is the happiness. You need to appreciate that."
And he correlated that like with like kind of you with like storytelling too.
Yeah. So this actually goes into another thing I wanted to talk about. Mm-hmm. I don't think we've talked about this before necessarily. I'm sure we've brought it up, but I don't think we actually ever went into the seven types of stories.
Yeah, we've always talked about there's only so many kind, but I don't think we've ever really dived into it too much.
We might have covered this. I don't think we dedicated a whole episode to it if we did, but there's no problem going back because sometimes you need a little reminder. Maybe we can go into the shapes of stories with this.
Well, like we also bring up before, like we're different in our writing and stuff now, so we might hopefully have a different
better appreciation
or take on it now.
Number one, overcoming the monster. So your classic monster stories, your Draculas, your Frankenstein monsters. So those are crafted to be more literary fare where there's more character arc to the monsters. But then when you think of what we have now for monster stories, even like your Godzillas, your King Kongs, usually it's just the monster is something to overcome.
Yeah.
I like the old style monster stories where the monster was something you almost want to understand. It's not just a threat, it's something else, you know? And if it is a threat, it's often more of a threat because, yeah, it can hurt you or kill you or terrorize your village or whatever, but it's also a threat because it shows you maybe what you could be or the inner monster that lurks within all of us. So there's a lot of takes you could do on overcoming the monster that's just not your classic, oh, I had to fight a giant and kill it, you know? Number two, rags to riches. Rags to riches is your typical up, down, up, man in the hole scenario. So usually that starts off with, you know, somebody... I did that backwards. I'm thinking of riches to rags. Riches to rags, because that's the one I would write, is the rich guy, and then he goes into the depths of despair, and then he comes back rich, or not. He could just, you know, gets worse.
I saw this reel about this guy, this millionaire guy, and to try to prove a point, he was going to, like, empty out all of his bank accounts and stuff like that. Start out, like, you know, just broke, just poor, living on the streets. And, like, within a year, his goal was
to
get rich again. They showed it, like, in the beginning, he was doing pretty good. And, like, he made some progress. But, like, after, like, 2 months, he's like, I can't. It's the hottest thing that I've ever done. I can't do it. Like, it had to stop.
Yeah, so the rags to riches is usually overcoming numerous obstacles. Mm. And depending on your protagonist you're writing, you could really give them the shits.
Mm-hmm.
Like, are they just like a poor guy in Alabama or are they like a poor guy in India?
Yeah.
You know, like, there's a difference.
But you know, one thing whenever you just mentioned the rag to riches, one of the first things that kind of popped in my head I thought was kind of weird was like Aladdin.
Aladdin, yeah, but he's a thief.
Yeah.
Was he the thieving or the one of the...
Well, he just stole some bread so him and the monkey could eat.
Yeah, he's still thieving. He didn't bake that bread. Number three is your personal favorite, The Quest.
Quest.
The Quest. The Quest is...
Look, I don't mind a quest when there's an actual quest, but I don't like quests when people are just wandering around saying that they're questing.
John Steinbeck's King Arthur stories were nothing but, we're going questing, but when does the questing actually happen? Don Quixote is my favorite quest story.
Mm-hmm.
It was very fun. Number four, Voyage and Return. So I think of the Odyssey.
No, classic one. Real quick, back to the questing. Lord of the Rings. Wouldn't that be considered kind of questing?
Lord of the Rings is my favorite quest story. I guess that does count. There's a lot of quest stories. Basically, a quest is just when you have to go on a long, arduous adventure to succeed at something. You have an end goal.
I mean, honestly, you could probably even say like a lot of like military thrillers and stuff are probably like questing kind of because, you know, like you probably have like a target you have to take out to save the nation or what, like, you know what I mean? You can mess with that in different ways.
Basically, as long as there's some kind of end goal, you can have a quest. Voyage and Return. So I think of the Odyssey or any adventure story like that where it's like this long trip and you're going and you're doing stuff and you keep hitting obstacles And maybe like that has the same as a quest, the end goal. Odysseus or Ulysses, if you go by the Roman version, just wanted to go home.
Mm-hmm.
He fought in the shitty war and he just wanted to go home. And it took him like 20, 30 years. So he was on a, you know what? That's the difference between a quest and like the voyage in return. The quest usually is something that the protagonist chooses to do.
Yeah.
Whereas the voyage is just like, fuck, is it ever end? It's like going to the, you know, the fucking TSA at the airport. It's like, I just want to be through this already.
I feel like Odysseus is probably like the most like ancient Greek, whatever character from that time period that I can relate to the most.
Number five, Cinco. Comedy.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was funny.
We don't get a lot of those anymore.
Comedies?
Yeah.
Like books?
Yeah.
Stories? I think it's because they are always used in other genres.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not just, oh, this is just a comedy. It's a sci-fi comedy, mm-hmm. a horror comedy, a dramedy. Speaking of drama, number six, tragedy.
Those two normally go hand to hand, comedy and tragedy.
I think you could... Your man Billy Shakespeare could be credited for that because I think he was I don't want to say he's the inventor of comedy and tragedy, but I don't remember reading any comedy and tragedy before him,
mm-hmm.
other than maybe the Chaucer, the Canterbury Tales. Were they funny?
I didn't read those.
I didn't read Old English. I don't know. I tried. Sucks. Number seven, Rebirth, the Phoenix Rising from the Ashes. I guess we can break these down a little bit since we're only 22 minutes.
Oh, wow.
And after I cut out all my coughing, it's going to be even less. So the Overcoming the Monster plot is all about a protagonist facing an evil force or antagonist, often depicted as a monster in a literal or figurative sense. Figurative is the kind I like.
Yeah.
As I cemented earlier. The protagonist must confront and defeat this enemy to restore balance and safety. You can combine the monster with many other things, such as the quest. Mm-hmm. That's usually, they go hand in hand. Same with Voyage.
Well, yeah, a lot of these ones do normally go together, you know, to put together to make like a better story. Like one of them did by themselves is a good story, but having some of them together make a better story.
Can you think of any popular monsters in fiction or movies? The most popular. The
most popular? Where you got like, would you like count like the Freddies and Jasons and stuff like that?
We'll do horror, action, and fantasy, so we won't count human figures.
Okay.
The correct answer, Beowulf, Jaws, Godzilla, and more.
I read Beowulf.
I know, you always brag about it. Like you're some guy. You know what I read? The Divine Comedy.
Hey, I read that motherfucker too.
I think you actually read more than me because I couldn't get the last one I had to listen to.
Well, that's hard to tell because you read the notes. So we'll just call it even.
Call it a draw.
Yeah.
Three main tropes from Overcoming the Monster stories. Evil antagonist, the hero faces an ordeal. Order is restored, a curse is lifted. Could also say cliches.
Yeah.
Rags to bitches. That's what I'm saying. Ooh, yeah. In rags to riches stories, the protagonist begins in a lowly state and achieves a significant transformation through a series of events, often involving wealth, status, or power. This plot type is common in drama and romance genres. Some well-known examples include Cinderella, Slumdog Millionaire. I was trying to not say Slumdog Millionaire because I never saw it and I don't want to.
No?
I hate Indian fiction. You know why?
Wow.
You know why?
Why?
Too much singing and dancing.
I don't think that's what's in that movie, but...
And The Pursuit of Happiness is another one.
I can't believe you hate Bollywood.
I do.
Oh, that's...
Twiggly, twiggly. Twiggly, twiggly. They're just too goddamn happy. No, I have no problem with Indians. Three main tropes from rags to riches stories. Humble beginnings. The hero has a hidden talent. Personal transformation accompanies a change or circumstances. In circumstances. Surprised they didn't have riches to rags on here. Because that's an interesting story. I guess it doesn't have a happy ending, so they're just like... Well, the guy's a dick bag. But then he learns a meaningful lesson in life that money isn't everything.
Mm-hmm.
Next up, The Quest.
Questing.
The quest plot type is about a protagonist's journey towards a specific goal. I already said all this stuff. Mm-hmm. Classic examples include Lord of the Rings, Indiana Jones, and The Odyssey is considered a quest. So I'm interested to see what their voyage thing is. Three main tropes from the quest: precious object or destination. Narrative is defined by a journey. Heroes receive a reward. Unless you're Chewbacca, you get no medal for you.
No medal for you, you hairy fucker.
You fucking... Ooh, that ain't good. I don't have enough liquid in my mouth. Ooh, I'll just dub it in.
You make people think, oh, wow, he does really good job. Chewbacca voice.
Fucking excellent. Voyage and return. Stories involve the protagonist embarking on a journey to an unfamiliar world. We know what a fucking voyage is. These can be found... Why does it have to say in every example this type of story can be found across main genres? They all can.
Yeah.
Maybe not comedy. Maybe... No, comedy too. Especially comedy. So examples include Alice in Wonderland, The Chronicles of Narnia, and Back to the Future.
That's a weird grouping.
Voyage and return stories have these three tropes. Hero falls into another world, thrilling escape or chase. Heroes bring something back with them. Comedy plots center around... The next one's comedy, if you didn't catch. Comedy plots center around misunderstandings, mistaken identities, or confusing situations that create humorous scenarios. Some examples. Much Ado About Nothing, Bridget Jones' Diary, and Superbad. That is a combo I would not put together.
And I've been saying for a while that we should do like an episode on comedy writing.
Oh my God!
Because I think, you know, general people might think like, oh, that comedy, that's like easy, like, but it's probably one of the hardest things to write.
Hold on, Spencer. Hold on a second. Take a second and hold on.
I'm holding.
Hold on to everything.
Everything? I'm holding on to what's most valuable to me right now.
Ooh, hold on. You forgot something.
Oh, yeah?
Forgot to stab me in the dick. Oh. Okay. Wait, okay. I don't know why that took so long. Episode 140 of the DPW podcast, How to Write Comedy.
We'd do it again.
That was literally from last year.
No, it wasn't.
July 25th, 2023.
We'll do another one.
So stop fucking asking.
Do it again.
I knew we did that.
Do it again.
And also, we have three comedy episodes. We have Turn Your Life Into Comedy, and we have Talking Sci-Fi and Stand-Up Comedy.
Oh, well, that's because of...
Stop it. Just stop it.
That's because of...
So here's three tropes from comedy stories. Some stupid dingbat who probably smokes a bunch of weed and then comes to the DPW studio and says, I don't know what this is. We should talk about it sometime. And they go, we already did 14 times. And you go, nah. That's you. That's you is what you sound like. So the tropes for comedy: misunderstandings and deceptions, disguises, mistaken identity, happy ending, and celebration. Tragedy. Stories focus on the protagonist's downfall due to their fatal flaw or a series of unfortunate events. These narratives often inspire sympathy and contemplation in the audience. Some examples include Romeo and Juliet, Death of a Salesman, and Titanic.
Titanic.
Is that a different one? Have I been watching the wrong one all these years?
Well, it depends. Do you only make it through like the first 20 minutes of it? Or
I remember a car scene. So the main tropes of tragedy: tragic hero with a flaw, hero tries to fight against fate, increasing isolation of the hero. Rebirth, this is an interesting one. So rebirth narratives, the protagonist experiences a massive transformation. It's gotta be massive.
Massive. Huge. Great.
Often spurred by a realization or event that changes their perspective or lifestyle. So this includes A Christmas Carol, Beauty and the Beast, and Groundhog Day. That's one I guess it's a rebirth of sorts. Learns a valuable lesson. So here's the trope for rebirth: presence of a guiding mentor. The hero reaches their lowest point, incorporates seasonal imagery or other imagery symbolizing transformation. Why seasonal imagery? Wish that was fleshed out more. So that is what we're dealing with. So those are seven types of stories, and also Shapes of Stories by Kurt Vonnegut. And to a lesser degree, we don't need to do a comedy episode because we did one three times.
Okay, we should do a comedy episode.
You know what? That's a great idea. How to write comedy. Evidently, it wasn't that good of an episode since we don't remember doing it. I feel like neither of us remember any of the things we do on here.
Oh my God, it was been so much.
Like last week episodes where we were like, hey, let's do Neil Gaiman's books.
Yeah.
And I looked on when I was saving the file, and I put Neil Gaiman books, and it already came up because we did that once. Let me see how many Neil Gaiman episodes we got.
Probably not that many. I mean,
14.
Yeah, well.
No. I know we did one early in our career. Neil Gaiman. We only got two. Getting Our Learn On with Tips from Neil Gaiman and Best Neil Gaiman Books, which was last year.
Yeah.
Evidently, this is a repeat year.
Yeah.
Though we did change it up, so last week's episode is ended up being more controversial because we didn't agree with the list too much.
Right.
So that is the episode on stories. Is there anything you'd like to add about writing stories? I know what I want to add, Spencer.
What do you want to add?
Boners. I want to put boners. More boners in my story.
Boners up.
No, I wanted to ask you this before, and I forgot. Have you found yourself, I'm sure you haven't specifically thought of like the man in the hole or any of those examples when you're writing a story, but can you think of some of the stories you worked on that fit any of those molds?
Yeah, probably. I mean, I think I would have to go through and look at some of the stuff more to be, you know, 100%. But I'm pretty sure that because I would feel like the book, The Butcher Story that I wrote that hasn't been put anywhere, maybe put on the website. But like, I feel like that would fall into like the almost like from bad to worst almost.
Yeah, bad. You have a lot of bad to worse, actually.
Yeah, that's a...
that's... what was that story called? I forget. Upper Management or something story. You just wrote it not that long ago. That was more of a rags to riches type of story that ends in a horror note.
Right.
So it was like a guy who's kind of at the bottom, wants to work his way up, but then things go awry. Probably a combination of some of those. I'm trying to think of my works. I don't think I actually start at the top a lot of the time.
No. Oh, you mean like start out good?
Yeah. I don't think I have a lot of, everything's great. And it, like, I'm thinking of some of the stories I've written. Like one I was working on, it literally starts with a child's funeral.
And so, yeah, you already just start within the shit.
Yeah. Actually, a lot of times I don't think I even go up. Yeah. I think it's just bad to worse.
Yeah.
That could be an aspect of genre fiction, though. We've
been getting a lot of our more stuff into like horror-y kind of like stuff, so that would make sense with that.
Yeah, I have written a few stories that could be considered either quest or voyage, maybe.
Yeah,
not full adventure stories, but there is like a.
What would you do? Do you think your Asher Kang story? Like, what do you think it would fit in one of those?
It starts bad. Gets worse, and then it ends good.
Gooder.
One of the characters it ends terribly for, and the other character, obviously the title character, is good ish. I don't know. Sword and sorcery is a genre where I don't know if it follows those kind of tropes. It never starts good. Have you ever read a sword and sorcery where it's like, oh, Conan's doing great, and then he, not too often.
Yeah.
Usually it's like, oh, I got sold into slavery. Or, oh, I'm on a pirate ship and got shot in the leg. Or like just something bad starts off with, and then it gets progressively worse, and then maybe has a happy ending.
Or it's more he just survives the experience.
Yeah, that's usually what it is, so. I guess I am shaped by a lot of the fiction I read, and I don't read a lot of fiction that starts off on good notes.
Now, what about the sailor stories from Howard? Like, but just because I haven't read them, so I didn't know like how much of like the sailing and going places is a part of it, or if it's just more just like a setting.
They're rarely ever on the boat.
Okay,
they're usually on a dock or at a port. It usually starts off with a punch in the face and ends with a punch in the face or getting duped by a not mischievous woman. What do you call a woman that is sly and tricks you?
Deceiving?
Deceiving woman. He always gets robbed.
Yeah.
Basically. He always gets tricked and robbed and he's a fucking idiot. CTE real bad. Real bad.
Yeah. Yeah.
All those punches to the head. CTE real bad.
What about, just cover the trifecta, the Solomon Kane.
Solomon Kane stories are very grim. They're like the Conan stories. It's just they start off, a lot of them are already on a downer or something, which probably was the thing with the pulp thing. You have to catch the reader right away. Mm-hmm. So it's like, we're going to start off with some action. We're going to start off somebody getting their head chopped off or, you know, a princess was stolen immediately. You know, it's usually something like that. Yeah, honestly, I'm trying to just think of some stories I've read where it starts off on a, like it's such a popular, you start off and then you drop them down. I can't even think where it starts off good. It's the last time you read a story. Maybe like the hike started off kind of good because the guy was like at a hotel that was kind of nice. I'm going to go for a walk. And then they go, he gets in the muck and then he comes out of it.
Because I was almost going to say like Shining, but like it still kind of starts out shit because he has to go to this hotel for the winter. But like technically in the beginning, like everything's all great, big happy family, and then that shit goes downhill.
Pet cemetery.
Yeah.
They get a new house, they're happy. It doesn't last very long.
No, it does not.
But then you think of like Carrie. That doesn't start off happy at all.
No. Just mockery.
Yeah. I don't know. That'd be interesting to look at. Like maybe you folks can think about some of those shapes of stories when you read something next. You know, it's like, hey, what category does this fall in? I might start doing that, just like try to, you know, be more present and go, what category would I put this in if I went by Vonnegut's list there? But anyway,
or even while you're working on a story, like what would this, you know,
I think I'm going to try to write some more stories that start off on a good note. But then again, I also feel like a lot of the readers nowadays don't want things. They want some of this shit. You know, they just want to start off with a mayhem. It depends on the story, I guess. Mm-hmm. What genre you're writing and stuff like that. But anyway, that's it. That's the topic. It's done. We covered it.
Over.
And remember,
no comedy episode. Or if you want another comedy episode, Mike, let us know.
Or you just listen to the last one. I'm sure it was great. So that was DPW. You can follow us at DPW Podcast on X, Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. Spencer's OnlyFans this week is the Seattle Sweet Semen Sucker Church. No.
It
was Seattle, right?
Is Seattle
Salty
Spooge,
Semen?
No, Spooge something or other.
Speedster.
Yeah.
The Seattle. This is the second week in a row I came up with a better name at the end than I did at the beginning, because sweet and or salty Spooge. fuck. Anyway, that's the episode, and I think I have stuff coming out when this airs. I can't remember. I got a story coming out in Mini Mag May 2nd, so I'm not sure when this airs, but keep an eye out for that. I don't have the information, but go to CalebJamesK.com. Go to publications, and you'll find links to all that stuff.
Yep.
Anyway, thank you for listening, and we will catch you maybe next week. Mm. Maybe if I'm feeling it.
Maybe.